Welcome, and thank you for joining us for the NAHU Healthcare Happy Hour, the official podcast of the National Association of Health Underwriters. Before we begin, please take a moment to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or Spotify. The podcast is distributed on these platforms every Friday and is included in the NAHU's weekly member-exclusive health policy newsletter, The Washington Update, giving you a head start on your weekly healthcare happy hour. We apologize for the audio quality on this week's episode of the Healthcare Happy Hour. We are practicing social distancing and recording in our individual homes.
While we await further regulatory guidance from the administration, as well as another bipartisan coronavirus package from Congress, this week's Healthcare Happy Hour is spotlighting the NAHU Employer-Based Plan Working Group's think tank, which first debuted at a breakout session during this year's Capitol Conference. Gary Kupo, chair of the Employer Working Group's Balance Billing Subcommittee and winner of the think tank contest at CAPCON, joins us this week to discuss the think tank and his winning pitch. Thanks for being on the podcast, Gary. Would you like to introduce yourself and what your roles are with NAHU?
Yeah, thank you, Dan. I've been in the insurance business since 1973, specializing in health insurance and employee benefits. I'm president and CEO of Benefit Solutions, based in Fairfield, New Jersey. I was a past state president of the New Jersey Association of Health Underwriters, and I've had the pleasure and privilege of serving on the National Committee for Employer Working Groups for the last 2 years. February 2019, NAHU released my podcast on surprise balance billing, which was released again in April 2019.
Before we talk about your winning pitch, let's talk about the EWG think tank generally. What is the think tank, and what purpose does it serve for NAHU members?
In the fall of 2019, the Employer Working Group established a new subcommittee intended to focus on empowering members to share and explore new ideas to bolster the private insurance market, lower costs, and increase quality. The first initiative of this subcommittee was to develop a think tank pitch session that was held during the breakout sessions at CAPCON this past February. We had five speakers with some great ideas to share.
So your pitch specifically dealt with the small group market under the ACA. Can you go into detail about your think tank idea? What was the problem that your idea intended to solve?
Well, my idea starts with the premise and question of, is it fair that healthy people pay the same rate as unhealthy people? Are we at a point in time that our government and our states may reconsider their position on community rating? My comments and suggestions here today are specific to the small group marketplace under ACA. In today's small group market, employers have no financial incentive to lower premiums for installing any wellness program for their employees. Under ACA, we allowed states to charge more for smokers. My state, New Jersey, looked at the numbers and decided it wasn't worth charging any higher premiums because of the cost for policing everyone's answers. I like the mandatory requirement of covering preventive services at 100%. However, is it effective in all categories of coverages? You've seen the list for adults, women, and children. It's impressive how many items are covered, but are they all necessary? On July 17, 2019, the IRS issued Notice 2019-43, expanding the list of preventive care to include a range of chronic conditions that are now permitted to be provided by high deductible health plans without a deductible. This was optional for carriers. Why make this optional? I would like to see comprehensive studies to determine which preventive care coverages are giving us the expected ROI. Yes, a return on investment. That was the goal, to invest long-term, which would bring down healthcare costs. Remove the coverages that are not cost effective and make these high deductible preventive care coverages mandatory. Years later, we can review the effectiveness of these coverages and modify accordingly. I was at a recent large group carrier meeting that instituted a new dental oral health integration program. Why am I talking about dental plans now? Well, this is how it works. Anyone that has a history of heart disease, stroke, diabetes, chronic kidney disease, organ transplant, head and neck cancer, radiation, or pregnant will be offered additional zero-cost preventive coverages such as periodontal treatment and maintenance that projects to save, get this, 6 to 8% on their medical premiums. Can we offer this today in the small group market? No. With my proposal, they can. Are we allowing certain states to offer self-funded plans that do not necessarily fully cover their state-mandated benefits? Now, state-mandated benefits are another topic of discussion, which we'll save for another day, okay? This has the effect to cherry-pick healthy groups, causing higher rates in the fully insured marketplace. You know what happened to many association plans that were underfunded, causing the healthy people to leave and the unhealthy people to stay because there was no other place to go. It's called a death spiral. Could this cause more and more carriers leaving the fully insured marketplace or having no carrier at all in your state? I would like our federal government or interested states to consider a tiered renewal premium rating system or a rate adjustment factor system on these groups. This has worked for some association health plans, California prior to ACA, and the mid-size market. For instance, if a mid-size group carrier requires a 15% increase on their book of business, they can offer lower rates to the healthier groups and higher rates to the unhealthy groups to average out to 15%. An oversimplification of a renewal would allow healthy groups receiving a 10% increase, unhealthy groups receiving a 20% increase, and the average group receiving the 15% increase. I believe California had this risk rating adjustment approach prior to ACA, allowing a plus or minus 10% factor. The risk factor can be assigned a 0.90% to 110%, where the book rate would be at 1.0 or 100%. They used in California simplified underwriting, asking a few medical questions to rate up the high-risk claimants. They were also able to assign a low or high rating factor based on the industry they were in. A tiered renewal rating system works a little different and would rate each group on the renewal based on their experience and would fall into one of a number of tier ratings. In the example of a carrier needing a 15% increase in their block of business, the tiers would look something like this. Tier 1, having less than 80% loss ratio, they'd receive a 9% increase. Tier 2, having 80% to less than 90%, they'd receive a 12% increase. Tier 3, having 90% to less than 115%, they'd receive an 18% increase. And tier 4, having 115% or more loss ratio, they'd receive a 21% increase. Now, did I lose you? Well, now the number of tiers, the percentages, and the increases can be discussed with actuaries to come up with an acceptable, viable rating methodology. I did this many years ago with a state association I consulted with. After sitting with the actuary of the carrier on the risk, we came up with 4 tiers. They ended up with a high 6-digit dividend the following year, which had never happened in the history of their plan. This new rating system should allow enough time for employers to be made aware of these changes through massive media channels with at least 2 to 3 years, maybe even more, before full implementation. Afterwards, new groups without any prior coverage would come in at tier 4 rates. New startup companies would have an initial rate at the book rate desired. High-risk pools can be re-examined to offset the costs for tiers 3, 4, and startup companies. Perhaps the high-risk pools can subsidize rates by the group's experience or even for the individual with certain diagnosis codes. If this was available in your state, can you imagine some of the great low renewals that you can deliver to your clients? For the high renewals, we have to work with the federal government and our states to develop some high-risk pool solution to make this effective. As insurance brokers, we are looking for ways to lower healthcare costs for our clients. So we increase deductibles, we increase copays, we increase employee contributions, we offer narrower and narrower networks, and we see the cost savings to self-funded plans. My state has a pending bill to disallow the sale of stop-loss insurance in the 50 and under market. I serve on our state's association's legislative committee. We met to vote on whether or not to support this bill. It didn't come as a surprise to me that half the members did not want to support the bill. We need to stop looking at short-term recommendations and look for long-term solutions for the sustainability of this market. When the private sector fails, the public sector will intervene and pass laws. That is why our people running for office are throwing out ideas for single-payer systems, a public option, Medicare for all. We need to stabilize our current fully insured market and come up with ideas that will better allow us to bring down healthcare costs and not implode what we currently have. So again, I ask, should healthy people pay the same rate as unhealthy people? If your answer is no, then I welcome anyone that would like to explore this concept further with me and come up with a comprehensive proposal that could have a chance with our policymakers.
Thanks, Gary. I can see why you won. So what does the future of the EWG think tank look like? Are there plans for future sessions after annual convention?
Absolutely. We're planning a separate virtual event later in the summer by soliciting members through posts in the Washington Update, social media, and through targeted recruitment using personal contacts and association leadership. We will be looking for members with an idea that they think could help drive down costs while continuing to provide quality healthcare. This would include anyone from well-designed strategies, case studies from clients, back-of-the-napkin brainstorms, or even that good old light bulb in the middle of the night.
It is now time for the NAHU Healthcare Happy Hour Toast of the Week. Gary, who are we toasting to this week?
I would very much like to toast the future innovators for our think tank committee. So stay tuned for NAHU's announcement to show you how to submit your ideas for our next virtual event.
Cheers!
Thank you for joining us for the NAHU Healthcare Happy Hour, the official podcast of the National Association of Health Underwriters. For more information on NAHU's government affairs efforts or to become a member, visit NAHU.org.